Now entering Nerdist.com.
Welcome to the Sex Nerd Sandra podcast.
Whoa, what are these kids doing in here? Hey, if you're under 18, go ask your mom. Now that we're alone, let's start the show.
Sex Nerds! I want to say something. I want to talk
Sorry.
With Dave. Keeps. We're in my apartment right now. Katie's out of town.
Yeah, we're there's one microphone. It's what it's like called a ball mic or something.
Snowball.
Snowball.
Like sex act.
Oh right. But we don't know how to operate audio equipment, so we have to get our faces really close to. Sandra and I are both giving the microphone fellatio. Well, no, because it's the shape of a ball. But you get it. We're super close to it. My face has never been this close to Sandra's face before. Now our faces are touching.
I'm pushing him out of the way. It's my mic now.
Yeah, you're
it's
not very strong, so I'm not moving. Sandra lives in filth and...
cutting this part out.
She does it. She doesn't. She just has a bunch of paper on her desk, and I found her business card, which I'd never seen before. Do you mind? Can I read your? Is this going to embarrass you?
No, I just. Yes.
Sandra Doherty is sex nerd. Sandra, sex educator, podcast host, consultant, and coach. Endlessly curious. Always sex positive. DTF. That's what it doesn't say that last part. Doesn't say the last part.
What if I just did that, like the back? It's just like, DTF in bold.
It doesn't even say your name. The card just says DTF in big letters. Let me give you my card.
I do have a card that you can give someone after sex. It says, I'm so glad it was you.
Get out. Really? Do you really?
Yeah, I do.
That's so cool.
I have a friend who has cards made where they say, like, hey, you're fucking awesome. Keep that shit up. And, like, he
really?
Walks away. Yeah, it's really cool. So, guys, last week we did the virginity episode. Dave was in Atlanta being awesome as a comedian.
Hello.
And this week we have our Fat and Fabulous show, which is all about, like, being awesome at any body size and feeling good about ourselves and having a good time, which is generally what we like.
By the way, I just want to say thank you to all the listeners who came out to my shows in Atlanta while I was there. I got to meet... a handful of listeners. It was really cool. They were all like really great, sweet people. We had a really good time at the shows. It was awesome. So thank you.
Our listeners are awesome. Someone just brought me flowers.
Really?
Yes.
That's great.
Picked from a farm.
Really?
Yeah.
From a farm.
Yeah, they were working on a farm earlier that day.
Really?
Yeah.
Where's there a farm that's close to here? Are there farms?
I think it was like a school farm where they were teaching, like an educational farm. But yes, thank you very much for the flowers. They're very pretty.
Thank you.
Yes. So even though last week's show was on virginity, I, of course, after I recorded the segments, then I found this amazing article on Panda Three Ways at thegoodmenproject.com. Do you know what a Panda Three Way is, Dave?
No, but I have a guess that is probably wrong. At least I hope it's wrong.
So... if it's wrong, I don't want to be right. Panda Three Way is, well, I think it's referencing when
you get three pandas.
When
and a camera.
It's when a young, inexperienced person has sex with an experienced couple as their first time.
Oh.
So as a rite of passage, they get shepherded into the situation that is sexy time by people who know what they're doing. And I, at first it sounded really like, whoa, that sounds kind of kinky and stuff. But like, as I read the article, it's an amazing thing because the people who have experienced their first time as this type of, ritual, it's like let's say it's a virgin dude. He's having sex with a female. The guy, the like partner is able to like, let him know like things like where to put his hands and what to do and coaching him. And the woman is just like, yeah, that feels really good. And they're just basically being really accepting of him and being like, yeah, this is how you do it. And same for if a female comes into the bedroom.
Well, that's wonderful.
Yeah, like it's like mentorship, sexual mentorship.
Sure.
And I just, it blew my mind. And then at the end of the article, my mind got blown again when she writes, where is it? Perhaps we should treat it as an individual rite of passage, not as the first encounter of a person's first committed relationship. What if a person coming of age truly did have a number of choices? Like, what if they could choose to have their first experience in a celebratory group sexual encounter, or in a panda three-way, or some other assisted encounter with their beloved? I mean, what if virginity was an actual rite of passage where we didn't have to just be fumbling in the dark, like, well, this is my first time. Like, what if it were like, oh, like a quinceañera for sex?
Sure. That would be great. I mean, I could see it. I could see it raising the stakes a little bit, too. It might, to the more anxious of people, it might make it more difficult. You know what I mean? But I mean, I think in most ways it would be wonderful. I
could see it raising the stakes. Like, you mean like bar mitzvahs where the kid has to be reading Hebrew out really loud while his voice is cracking?
That is what the idea of a rite of passage makes me think. Because I just know, like me, I lost my virginity in a tent in the woods. And there was no one around for miles. And if there were anyone remotely close, I don't even know if I could have done it. I was so nervous, you know?
That is a kind of advanced way to lose your virginity, like in a tent.
Oh, it was crazy. Well, you know, the whole story is for another time. I don't know if we have the time, but we planned it out.
We're gonna talk about there's gonna be more virginity conversation around.
Oh, of course.
The emails are already pouring in. People were like, I like that. Tell me more. I'm like, okay. But for now,
as long as there weren't added pressure, I think the rite of passage thing would be great. Yeah. A society that understands that it's something that has to be done and helps you through it. It would be wonderful.
Yeah. I mean, the panda three-way sounds hot because there's the assumption like, you don't know anything. We know things. Let's show you things. So it can be a learning experience with safe people, unless they're mean. Don't have a panda three-way with mean people. Have a panda three with friendly people.
But have it with people.
Not pandas. Okay, and now to intro the show. So first off, we've got Hannah Blank, historian and writer of Big, Big Love, actually, and she wrote A History of Virginity and Heterosexuality, two separate books, and erotica, I believe. And I give her a bit of a Q&A, and then we go to my friend John from the virginity episode, and we talk about how being big and tall can be quite interesting living a life day to day and sexually. So stay tuned. Hope you enjoy the show. So I guess my question to you is, what are some really big misconceptions that people have about people of different sizes?
Well, the sort of number one big myth that people have about body size and sex is that the bigger you are, the less likely you are to ever have sex with anybody for any reason. The less likely anyone is to ever want you, mm-hmm. the less likely you are to be seen as desirable right. or sexy. Mm-hmm. And I'm pleased to say that none of that is actually true. And there's a big difference between what people actually find sexy and desirable and sexually interesting and what people are willing to admit to in public. And I think that that's a real important distinction for a couple of reasons. One is that it means that, yeah, in point of fact, it doesn't really matter how funny looking you are or how big you are or how small you are or how weird looking you are or whatever. There is probably at least one or two people out there who think that you are actually pretty hot and they'd probably like to have you washed and oiled and brought to their tent.
I love that. Oh, my God. I love that so much.
And on the other hand, what it also means is that those people may or may not be ready or willing or able to admit that. Either to you or to themselves or to anybody else. And that's usually where things get a little hinky, is when people aren't able to admit to their own desires, when people aren't able to admit them to themselves, or when people are able to admit them to themselves and maybe to another person and they go and they, you know, they find a partner and they have sex and then they realize, I'm really not ready to take this public. I am not ready for other people to know that this is what I desire.
Right, because there's a lot of shaming around, like, oh, like I've heard guys be like, oh, you did that fatty, or you took one for the team, or that kind of thing, which is highly body negative about somebody who's perfectly wonderful.
There's and this dates me a little bit. You can kind of tell that I'm in my 40s. But when I was in high school, there was the joke that was like, how is a fat girl like a moped? They're both fun to ride, but you don't want your friends to see you on one.
That is so upsetting.
Isn't that awful?
That's terrible. It's... I mean, I get that it's a specific genre of porn. It's like this, you know, this tiny little genre over, and like I don't know how small the genre
is. It's actually a really big genre of porn. It's a huge moneymaker. It's one of the biggest genres for online porn, specifically. Really? And it's a big enough part of the adult video industry that AVN, the Adult Video News, which is sort of notoriously all about the tiny little porn standard models, has in fact had plus size models on the cover of Adult Video News. Mm-hmm. So it is big business.
Well, I really like that because you kind of people put their money where their interests are.
People put their money where their id is. People put their money where their libido is. Where your libido is and what you're actually willing to support publicly are often two different things. There are a lot, particularly straight men, mm-hmm. who are into big women, who are not going to admit it publicly. And I find that problematic on a number of levels. I mean, number one, if you like it, why not be honest about it? And number two, you know, that's a really shitty way to treat someone who you desire and presumably care about in some way, even if only as a sexual object. That's a shitty way to treat another human being.
Right, like if you desire that type of person and you think they're beautiful, why should we have shame around it and want to hide that? That's
right. And why shame yourself? You know, the world is going to do that for you no matter what. The world will find ways to make you feel shitty about yourself. Why help?
Right. Right. Like we should forgive ourselves. I mean, why give ourselves a hard time? Everyone else is doing a better job doing that.
They don't need the help. They have plenty of tools to try and make you feel bad about yourself.
Totally. In terms of the porn thing, that sounds like it's a bit more about big girls. What about the big guys?
There is very little straight porn that features big men. There is quite a lot of gay men's porn that features big men because gay men like to make porn about the things that they like. And one of the things that some gay men like are big men. So there's a lot of chub and chaser porn. There's a lot of bear porn that features big guys with beer bellies and stuff.
I love bears.
Who doesn't love a bear, I ask you? If what you like is big guys, that's where you got to go. Because then there really isn't, I haven't seen straight porn really that features big men. I mean, occasionally you will stumble across it in some of the amateur sites, but it's hard to find.
Yeah, and in terms of misconceptions, I mean, I remember I had this huge crush on this big guy, so long ago. And I had never been with somebody who was that much heavier than me. And the thought did cross my mind, like, oh, are bodies going to align right? Or, like, are things going to meld in the right spots? You know, like, I was concerned. And, like, of course, it was completely unfounded. But do you run across that misconception a lot?
Oh, yeah. I mean, people get worried about that all the time. I mean, I get the, oh, my God, you know, if a fat person gets on top of me, they're going to squash me like a grape thing all the time. People get very afraid of that. I have yet to see or hear of anybody actually being inconvenienced in the slightest by having a fat person get on top. Mm-hmm. And if you are, you know, you can move. There's that option. Yeah, people do worry. And sometimes, honestly, there are times, especially when you have two fat people who are trying to have sex together, that it is really topologically difficult because people...
Topologically?
Yeah. I mean, people, because bodies are shaped so differently. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have seen more fat women than the inside of a Lane Bryant dressing room. And I have never seen two fat women with identical bodies. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of the kinds of differences that you see in smaller bodies, I mean, because there are no two smaller bodies that are exactly alike either. And the bigger the body, the more those differences get magnified. They just get magnified and exaggerated. So, you know, it's just that much more evident that these bodies are not the same. And there's a friend of mine does a website called adipositivity.com. She's a photographer. And she has, you know, there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds now pictures of fat women and some fat men in various stages of undress. Mm-hmm. And her goal with that is to present people with a different way to look at fat bodies and with a chance to see fat bodies for what they really are, as bodies that happen to be fat and that look all kinds of different ways.
and are beautiful, because so much of what we see in terms of when we see heavy bodies in the media and movies, it's always most of the time shown as in an ugly light or in a comedic light.
Right. It's the grotesque. It's the grotesque. It's Falstaff. You know, it's that whole over the top. This is a comical body because it's a grotesque body thing.
Right. But the thing is, that's not necessarily the truth. That is just
Of course not. It's a very easy, very facile shorthand that we like to use because we don't want to take these bodies seriously.
Are there any mantras or ways, I mean, for people who are struggling with their body image and their body shape in the dating scene, like, oh, I don't want to get on top because I look a certain way, or like, oh, no one's going to ever want to date me because I'm shaped this way. Are there any things that people can really embody, like in messages that they can really just absorb and try and that they can find strength in?
Absolutely. This is not original to me. This was actually a phrase coined by my friend Glenn Marla, who's a performance artist in New York and a genius. And that's this phrase, which I really feel like I should be able to just hand it out on little cards to everybody in the entire world. There is no wrong way to have a body, which, you know, truer words never spoken. There is no wrong way to have a body. Your body is just fine right now, right here. It will be just fine in 20 minutes. It will be just fine in 20 years. It's the only one you're ever going to get, so it might as well be fine. And you may not always like it. You may not always find it to be aesthetically pleasing. You may find it very frustrating. I mean, every time I get a head cold, I find my body intensely frustrating because it won't breathe right.
Right.
But there is no wrong way to have a body. And I think that the more you can really sit with that and go, okay, you know, this body is all right. This is a good body. It's doing good things. It's doing all the things that I want a body to do for me. The more you can sit with that and be okay with that, I think the easier all of that stuff becomes. Because once you can establish to yourself, this is a good body, this body right here, this is a good body, then it's a little bit easier to say, and this good body deserves good things.
Right, because, I mean, first I think that everyone's body has wonderful, amazing potential for pleasure and pleasing someone else and finding happiness in the sensual. But then I also think about the women that you look at, for instance, that, or even guys, but people that you think are, oh, that they're perfect. They're the magazine perfect person. And so often I hear stories that the minute you get them in bed, they're just like limp starfish because they don't know what to do and they have weird feelings about, like, it's all image, but it doesn't translate into a positive sex life. So you can have the look.
Yeah, I have yet to meet anybody, particularly cisgendered women in this culture, who does not have some sort of body issue about their size, about their appearance, about some aspect of their embodiment, their physical embodiment. I don't think that person actually exists. Everybody you encounter has some sort of internal problem about their body. Full stop. I'm willing to stand behind that. Absolutely. No questions asked. And what that means is that everybody that you encounter in any kind of sexual context is actually fighting very, very hard in some way in order to be there.
Yeah. No, I'm suffering from the I don't work out and now my body is like every year we lose a certain amount of muscle mass. And so my body's changing because I don't work out. And now I'm dealing with the body image issues of somebody who's just like, whoa, oh no, what is that shape?
Yeah, what is that? Yeah.
You know, and just dealing with their bodies changing through our lifetimes. That's a whole situation.
And that is what bodies do. I mean, there's this wonderful fiction that we like to have in this culture, and the people who want to sell you Botox and diets and 9,000 other kinds of crap, more than happy to capitalize on this quite literally, is this idea that if you just work hard enough, you just do the right things, you eat the right things, you do the right exercises, you get the right surgery, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you can look like you did at 22 for the rest of your life, which I hate to break it to you, but not so much really.
No!
And that's not a bad thing.
No, it's
that's not.
Not
a bad thing. I mean, we glorify youth. We glorify young bodies. There are some sort of semi-decent sort of evolutionary biology arguments for that. There are also a lot of really shitty ones. I think that for the most part, we're not doing it out of any sort of evolutionary biological reasons. We're doing it because that's what we've been taught to do. That's what our culture values. Because frankly, I do not know how anyone can look at Helen Mirren and not think, I want my child to have those genes. You know,
right?
Because, oh my God, Helen Mirren. Helen Mirren is kind of is the person with whom my partner and I have this agreement that there's one person for each of us. That if that person comes up to the door and says, "Run away with me for a weekend of hot sex," that we get to go, no questions asked. Helen Mirren is mine.
A lot of couples have that. Okay, which celebrity,
if they showed up at the door, you get to go. Helen Mirren is totally mine. And 23 years old, she is not. And she doesn't look like a 23-year-old. She looks fantastic, but she does not look like a 23-year-old.
Right, right. But yet she teaches us that we can be sexy and in our bodies and proud of who we are at any age.
Any age and really any size, because Helen is not, she's not a tiny girl. She's never been a tiny girl. Mm-hmm. You know, she's got some meat on her bones, thank God. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that's okay. And I think that looking around for examples of that, that's actually a really good exercise, and they don't have to be famous. Mm-hmm. I mean, for most of us, there's at least, you know, one or two people that we see on a regular basis somewhere in our lives where they may not have sort of the media standard body, but you kind of, they fall into that category of either you want to be them or you want to do them.
Right.
And it's really okay to have those people as part of your physical role modeling and to be able to say, yeah, that right there, that person's really got it going on. And it's not media standard. They're never going to be on the cover of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, but oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, I find it really inspiring when I see a woman or a man that I'm attracted to that's not of like a standard magazine size, because I realize that there's so much, I mean, I feel like I got over the whole like, oh, I'm embarrassed that I'm attracted to someone that someone else might think is like odd. Like, I'm proud to see someone like that. And I see like so much beauty shining from them for so many reasons, confidence, the shape, their skin tone. Like, there's so much hotness out there. And to see that, celebrity or not, it's inspiring for sure. My question to you as the author of Big, Big Love, right? There's no the, it's just the author of Big, Big Love. Is when the book first came out, because the second edition or third edition, how many second, editions, second edition?
The second, it's actually a completely rewritten second edition, I guess is the best way to describe it. The first one came out in 2000, and the new one just came out in September of 2011.
Well, the very sexy cover.
Yeah, isn't that hot?
Very hot.
Love that cover.
Very nice. Have you received any negative reaction? I, of course, in my unending optimism go, oh, people must just embrace the book, love the book, and go, thank you for doing this work. But do you also get, the book is about sexuality at any size, mm-hmm. basically. So have you gotten negative responses?
Oh, yeah. There are people who really think, oh, you're encouraging fat people to be fat. And, you know, if you tell people that they can have good sex lives and it doesn't matter if they're fat, then they're going to go to a Krispy Kreme and just like open their mouths and inhale the entire store. And I don't know what the hell it is that people think, but basically they tell me that I am enabling fat people to get fatter, to stay fat or get fatter by telling them that you can have a good life. You can have a good sex life. You can be a happy person and a sexual person, and you can be successful at all of these things, whatever size you happen to be. And, you know, and I find that kind of a fundamentally fucked up Calvinist way of looking at having a good life, because it really betrays this underlying idea that success and a good life and pleasure and sexuality, that these are all things that should only exist as a reward for doing it right, and it being this thing of having a body. And if you have a body the right way, then you get to have all of these perks. And if you have a body the wrong way, then none for you, no cake for you, and off you go to have a poor, miserable, impoverished existence. And that's the way it should be.
Right. Yeah, the idea that 5 more pounds, if I lose 5 more pounds, then I'm going to be able to be orgasmic and feel sexy in bed.
Yeah, no, what's going to happen if you lose 5 more pounds is that you're still going to be trying to figure out how to have an orgasm. You're still going to be frustrated with your body, and you're going to need a sandwich.
Right.
You're going to be hungry. And, you know, I this is something that I say to people, and I've written about this in the second edition of the book particularly, is that dieting plays hell with your sex life because hungry people don't want to fuck. It's Maslow's basic hierarchy of needs. I mean, when people who are starving, and that's what dieting is, it's a controlled form of starvation. That's why your body uses up its own resources. People who are starving do not want to have sex. Your body doesn't want to do that. Your body is going, what do you mean have sex? That could mean we procreate and we are in a famine here. Have you not noticed? And, you know, and so it tends to, and they've done starvation studies, which are horrifying. If you ever really want to have a sleepless night, go read one. But they've done starvation studies where people are deliberately subjected to very, very low calorie diets to find out what happens to human beings when you starve them. And one of the first things that happens is you stop having a sex drive. You stop having libido. You stop being interested in sex. You stop wanting to have sex. You stop thinking about sex. You stop being very easily arousable. And it makes perfect biological sense that that would happen. If your body feels like, oh my God, our resources are under attack and we've got survival to deal with over here, you're not worrying about whether or not you're going to get laid.
Yes, I can't imagine when my blood sugar drops, the sex is the last thing that I wanted to,
right?
do. Yeah, and that's as a sex educator. Now, on the flip side, of course, are there any particular sexual functioning? I mean, I know just in terms of if you have low self-image feelings, your arousal can be hindered by that if you just feel bad about your body. Are there certain sexual function issues that can come up for people who are a bit heavier?
Not too many. No. Actually, there are some men who have some vasculogenic erection-related issues that can be impacted by actual physical pressure of fat or fat rolls against, for instance, the femoral artery and some of the other arteries that lead into the groin. Mm-hmm. So that can sometimes become an issue. But in general, I mean, the beautiful thing about the genitals in general is that nature protects them very, very well. They're kind of important, you know, for the perpetuation of the species in that way. Mm-hmm. And so they are one of the first things that gets taken offline when your survival is threatened. Mm-hmm. And it takes a lot to actually threaten their survival. Hmm. And I have...
Wait, taken offline, like you lose them or like the...
Like they stop working. Like,
okay,
you know,
okay.
For instance, starvation, people stop thinking about sex. If you lose, particularly for women, if you lose too much weight, if you don't have enough body fat to sustain a fetus, you stop ovulating.
Okay, right.
Your body just like, shutting down the factory. There's not enough resources. And it happens with, you know, huge amounts of stress. Anytime that your body is reacting like, oh my God, my survival is being threatened, your reproductive systems start to shut down. That is very rarely the case with fat, because fat generally actually improves your chances of survival on a biological level. And so, I've very rarely come across people who have had any sort of fat-related problems. Now, fat-related problems in terms of finding sexual positions, sometimes yes. Mm-hmm. As I was saying earlier in the interview, there are topographical problems, there are topological problems, because if you have two bodies where the shapes of those particular two individual bodies just don't fit together conveniently for particular types of sex, that can be really frustrating. And I've run and talked to people, you know, where, you know, male-female couples where a guy has a big belly and a woman also has a big belly and maybe she also has a big butt. And, you know, penises are only as long as they are. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes it can be hard because you only have so much penis to work with. So actual vaginal penetration can be tricky because you've got speed bumps and only so much penis to work with.
Right.
And clearly those of us who are queer, we have fewer problems with these things because we're not necessarily thinking that we have to achieve penis and vagina penetration and that's its holy grail. And, you know, it shouldn't be for anybody else either. There are a lot of other things that you can do, but nevertheless, that can be for people who really want to have penis and vagina sex. And there's plenty of good reasons you would want to do that. That can be really frustrating if you can't make that happen because of the way your particular bodies fit or don't fit together.
But again, this is a real issue. I mean, ultimately, sex is a lot about creativity. So it's about working with what you have and getting through that and having a good time no matter what. But I mean, some people might hear that and chuckle, like, oh, ha ha ha, you know, that whole, like, I can't find your genitals because you're so heavy. But it was just ridiculous, you know.
Yeah.
But, like, there's that concept of, like,
there's the, you know, that horrible old joke, you know, like, you know, how do you find a fat woman's pussy? It's just dip her in flour and look for the damp spot.
That's really crude.
I've heard all the really horrible fat jokes, fat sex jokes. That's kind of thing is immaterial. And, you know, yes, people laugh about it because they're uncomfortable, and I get that. And it gets old, you know, it gets old really fast. You know, if you can look at a human being and know where their head and their feet are, there's at least a 50% chance that you can figure out where their genitals should be in relationship to those two landmarks.
Like, if you can't find their genitals, you don't know what you're doing.
Well, you know, if you can't find your way to the genitals, then you shouldn't be having sex with somebody. It's really pretty simple. It's actually kind of an entrance test.
Oh, so on the positives of just, I mean, what is a PC term? Like, larger bodies? I don't like using the word fat a lot.
Why?
For me, just because I don't want to offend people.
Yeah, well, you know what? The way to not offend people with using the word fat is to use it as not an insult. I mean, I say fat all the time. I say fat, fat, fattity, fat, 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 and with fat sauce. because it's a perfect,
delicious.
It's a perfectly innocuous Anglo-Saxon monosyllable. It has gotten a reputation much worse than it deserves. But it's like bald. It's like short. It's like, you know, brown-haired. It's like blonde. It's like all of these other things that people can be. One of those things that people can be is fat. And I really, truly believe, and this has been my experience. I've been doing this work for, you know, about 12 years now, that the more you use the word fat in just a purely non-judgmental, descriptive context, the easier it is and the less painful it is and the more possible it becomes for people to hear it in a way that it's just not an insult. It's just another goddamn word. And it's kind of like queer, you know? If I never used the word queer, if I were afraid of the word queer and I were afraid of people calling me a queer, then yeah, that would sting. Mm-hmm. I say queer all the time. And people in general, people around me say queer all the time. And now if somebody came up to me and called me a queer and thought that they were insulting me that way, I'd be like, you need to try a little harder, son.
Like, I'd have to create context for around using the word fat, like, be like, oh yeah, 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 he's great, he's fat, you know, or so, like, I'd have to say, like, he's fat and beautiful, or like use other positive words to kind of cradle it.
That's totally reasonable, and I think actually a really good activist strategy to say, oh my god, did you see that hot fat woman? Mm-hmm. You know, or oh my god, that guy's fat ass totally got me off, you know. Things like that will change a culture. Those kinds of phrases will change a culture because you're using it in its designated capacity. It's a meaningful, descriptive word, and you're using it in a positive context. Where's the bad there?
I think that everyone should hear you speaking about that. I mean, it's such a simple point of view, and yet it's so powerful because that is not heard ever.
And it really should be, you know, it really should be. And I personally make a point of saying things like that, partly because it's fun to freak the normals, because it does freak them. People have overheard me several times here at this conference in elevators saying things like, oh my God, did you see that hot fat woman down there in that blue thing? Oh my God. You know, and I noticed that, you know, the non-conference goers, I noticed the heads kind of swivel slowly towards me, like, oh my God, what was that that came out of her mouth? But yeah, you know, people need to hear that. People need to hear that. Absolutely.
What's wrong with some body positive messages?
Well, and actually, what's wrong with some enthusiasm?
Yeah.
You know, like being publicly enthusiastic about bodies that are attractive in non-standard ways. I think that also goes a long way. That's a very political thing to do. It's a very activist thing to do, to say that over there, that is what I like. I like that. And you can't tell me not to like it.
I personally am finding this very inspiring because a couple weeks ago, I was walking down the street. It was night with a friend, a guy, and I saw this woman in a bar, and she was so beautiful, and she was, you know, very voluptuous in this tight little white shirt, and she had little like white ribbons in her like pigtails,
adorable,
and just shining with confidence and happy, and she was just beautiful. Like I was blown away, and I couldn't even, because I usually don't like point out people. Like I'm pretty like mellow about me checking out people, but I'm like, she is just beautiful. Like I just really said something, and he was just like, really, her? And he's just like, we definitely have different like tastes.
And you know, and that's okay, because you're going to have different tastes, thank God.
Well, but I felt shamed, and so I was like, well, you know, she just has a lot of confidence, she really worked out her outfit, and I kind of played it down. I felt bad.
No, you can't let people shame you about what you like. You just have to say, that's more for me then. You know? It's like, you don't like that? Excellent, because that doubles my chances of getting her phone number. Awesome. Off we go.
Thank you. Hannah Blank, we are here at MomentumCon 2012. We are hiding out in a hotel room. It's very exciting. It's very romantic, actually. Beautiful clouds outside. Thank you for talking with me. Your book, Big, Big Love, second edition, just came out. Mm-hmm. What are some other titles that people can look for?
People might also be interested in, well, I have a collection of erotica out. It's called Unruly Appetites. It came out a few years ago from Seal Press. And two histories. One is a history of virginity, which is called Virgin, the Untouched History. Came out from Bloomsbury in 2007. And more recently, just this past January 2012, I released a book called Straight, the Surprisingly Short History of Heterosexuality. And that's out from Beacon Press.
Awesome. If people want to follow you on Twitter or...
I'm Hannah Blank on Twitter. I'm Hannah Blank on Facebook. You can just kind of find me by my name. I'm also at hannahblank.com. Strangely enough.
Hanne Blank. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, thank you for interviewing with me.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
All right. So as you may remember from the virginity episode, John, my good friend. And one thing about John.
She won't let me go. I've been here 2 weeks.
shut up, you. Oh.
All right.
No, John is, you might notice him when walking on the street because he's 6'6"
mm-hmm.
and 360 pounds.
Yes.
Of just pure love.
That's right.
John is what you might consider a bear in the gay male community.
Okay, except I'm not actually gay. So, yeah, so but, thanks for that.
But you are my bear.
I am. Yes, I'm a straight bear.
Yeah, but I hear a lot of bear cubs, like the smaller burly guys, just adore you.
Oh, yeah. It's very flattering. It really is. But yeah, so I live in D.C., and D.C.'s bars are very mixed for the most part. There are gay bars, but I think pretty much every bar that I go to in D.C. is also very gay friendly. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I get attention from cubs, and it's kind of flattering. And they're all very cute about it, too.
What do they do?
They just sort of like sidle up and like make eyes.
There is the peacocking, like the mating dance of the gay male. It's mm-hmm. very specific.
I'm sure I'm missing out on all of the specific cues because I just have perfected this sort of shrug where I go, I'm straight. Sorry. It's very nice.
Hilarious. Very sweet. So I interviewed Hannah Blank,
mm-hmm.
who wrote Big, Big Love, which is a copy of a book that I gave you a while back.
Yes, you did give it to me, and I never read it. I still have it. It's on my to-read pile, which is now like 4 feet high.
It's okay. Actually, funny enough, the second edition just came out, and it is according
to... pile.
Yeah, burn the first edition. No, she said that the new one is much better, and that she improved it a lot, and the cover is really sexy. So
interesting.
Generally... it's a good time to get Big, Big Love.
Nice. So. I have a funny story about that because it's just on my bookshelf and I had a bunch of friends over one night. We were playing board games, Settlers of Catan for anyone who cares.
Yeah, you were.
And my friend Aaron saw the book and went, oh, you like Big Love that much? And I had to be like, yeah, no, that's a different book. I don't really watch the show about the Mormons.
That's hilarious. Did she ask what book that was? Yeah. Or, like, did she look at it?
Well, she just looked at the spine. I don't think she pulled it off the shelf.
Oh, okay. All right. That's funny.
Yeah.
So Hannah and I were talking mm-hmm. about the word fat.
Yeah.
It was after the whole conversation, and I mentioned how I actually don't use the word fat because I feel like there are lots of negative connotations. But, I mean, you're a big guy.
Yeah. I'll use the word fat. I'll use big. I'll use mm-hmm. rotund, jolly.
Mm-hmm. Robust.
Yep.
Uh-huh. And
not small.
I don't know. How do you see yourself as a big guy walking through the world?
I don't really... Honestly, I don't think about it very much. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just everything is sort of low to the ground and smaller than me for the most part. And it's been and it's been that way since I was about 15.
Right. Whereas for me, the world is a very large, scary place.
Yeah. Well, I can relate. I mean, I kind of have little freakouts whenever I encounter someone taller than me. I'm like, oh, I get all Highlander and like, oh, there can be only one. Actually kept me from my grocery store for a couple of months because they hired a teller who was taller than me.
That's right. My fantasy is to get you into an elevator with a very tall basketball team and just giggle at your panic.
Yes. Sandra, your fantasy is my nightmare.
Sorry. I like these things.
Right.
You know, I don't know. It's just, look,
because you have an oddly whimsical brand of cruelty.
What is this so goofy?
It is. Everyone has their little fears, though.
Yeah, I guess it's like being afraid of dolphins.
How did you know?
Shut up. So, I don't know. I'm glad that you have a pretty positive mm-hmm. or neutral. Would you say you have a fairly positive body
fairly
image?
Fairly positive. I mean, I am what I am, and it's... It's actually fairly recently that developed. Like, I've been negative. I've actually been, over my life, I've probably been more negative and felt more awkward about my height than my weight.
Interesting.
Yeah, because that's, my height has made me a lot clumsier. It's sort of embarrassing to have people constantly see you whacking your head on door jambs and chandeliers and... just stuff.
Oh, that's endearing.
It is. Yeah, until you get poked in the eye for the 5,000th time by a tree branch as you're just walking down the street.
Ow.
Yeah.
Equal access to sidewalks, guys.
Yeah, guys. Trim your trees to 7 feet.
What have you noticed about how other people see you?
Some people don't see me, which is interesting. Like, I'll be in a crowd and people will walk into me. It's because my face isn't even in peripheral vision or something. And I just look like architecture. If you're not paying attention to individuals in a crowd, I get walked into a lot more than seems normal, I guess.
You're a very soft pillar.
Yeah, that's, and I'm very, yes. And I'm also a somewhat more apologetic pillar than is normal. I'm like, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to exist where you wanted to walk. That's, aww, that's entirely my fault.
So weight-wise, do you notice anything? I mean, like, can I mention that you do improv? No.
Yeah, you can mention it. No. You can mention it.
Well, like, I went to your improv show this one time.
Uh-huh.
And because you're bigger and like, you're just sort of like the stronger one in the troupe, it's like...
Ooh, don't say that. I'm in a troupe of fantastic guys.
No. What I meant is physically strong. No, I was going to say is one of the guys like jumped on your back and rode you around like a rhinoceros.
Yes. That's something that happens once in a while whenever we're feeling a little bit antsy. My friend John will jump on my back and ride me like a rhinoceros or a bear that he's trying to tame or his dad or a Santa Claus that he's captured. It's happened a lot.
So, I mean, it seems like you have a really jolly nature, but yeah. It's more recently that what changed in that you have a better attitude about your body image?
Well, I think I've learned that everybody likes something. So, I mean, being here and like moving to a larger city, you see people that like big, tall guys. Or tall, big guys, or just big guys, or just tall guys.
Like everyone has a type.
Everyone has a type, and it's more apparent now that I'm someone's type, and I didn't necessarily feel that way before.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like, you get that sense, like, walking through the world, like, the ladies.
Yeah, my friend John uses the phrase pork chop eyes.
Okay.
Like from cartoons where you're on a raft and you're starving and you're looking at your partner in the raft and he turns into like a pork chop.
Oh, right. That one.
Yeah, that one.
So you get the pork chop eyes from the ladies.
Yeah, every once in a while. I'm starting to recognize it quicker. Mm-hmm. A couple of months ago, I was at a bar after a show and a girl just walked up to me and said, "You're tall." And I was thinking of, like, I was a million miles away and like five drinks into the evening. Mm-hmm. And all I could think to say was, "Yes." And I think I walked away after that. I'm like,
"Oh no."
Somebody had to come over to me and say, "John, she did not mean you're tall as a factual statement. That was an invitation to talk to her more."
That was an invitation to climb up.
Yes, that's exactly right. So hopefully one of these days I'll be able to like recognize that in the moment and react to it. Any day now.
Okay. So the fact that you're tall helps with the weight. Like
mm-hmm. I think I get away with it. Yeah.
Okay. From,
I don't know. It's other people's. Mm-hmm. I can't talk for other people's experiences.
Okay. I mean, yeah, because it's curious. Because like I have dated big guys before.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I still don't say the word fat. I feel
you can.
Well, no. I mean, it's all
about tone.
Yeah.
I mean, fat can be an insult or it can be a compliment.
Right.
And so can big. Big can be said with every bit of acid that you want to attribute to the word fat.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, I like saying big guys or I don't know. I like a lot of words. It's just not in my vocabulary. Oh,
okay.
Really.
Well, then don't, like, sure. Everyone has words that they're not comfortable saying.
Yeah.
You had the dirty talk episode. I'm sure you touched on that.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, I didn't talk about fat.
No, but like everyone has, like no matter what, like there are words that are difficult for people to get past.
Yes, that's true. Yes, like sweetie.
Like sweetie.
But I got past that one. No. Next is maybe fat. So with women,
mm-hmm.
Now that we've established that you're not a gay bear cub lover.
Yeah.
Totally
flattering, guys, though.
Like in bed, like just your weight, like. I have noticed positives
mm-hmm.
about sleeping with a guy that's on the heavier side.
Yeah.
Have you noticed anything? I mean, then again, I guess you don't have a lot to compare it to.
No. Well, I've had most people would sometime like after the first time we've slept together,
mm-hmm.
we'll have a little exchange like, "Oh, that's." I was honestly a little bit worried about the crushing. And that didn't happen. You're very light on whatever it is you're resting on. So I'm like, yes, no, I know not to prevent people from breathing. That's
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The first time I was with someone who was heavier, I was concerned about that.
Yeah.
But it was just like I don't know. I've never even thought about this before.
Yeah.
But that could be enough to deter someone mm-hmm. from.
Oh, sure.
Dating someone heavier.
Yeah.
The fear that your bodies might not. Work together correctly.
Right.
Correctly, as it correctly. Was any correct
one. Right.
Which is totally not the case, which
no.
is fun.
Yeah.
You have
and,
any...
Oh. And actually, some women like the extra external stimulation you can get from a heavier guy.
Yeah, the belly and and the mound.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you get a lot more to rub up against.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plus, it's fun because there's just more person. You feel small and feminine. You're like, oh.
And some people like that, too.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. It can be fun.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I noticed, I mean, just in terms of being really body positive,
mm-hmm.
I mean, because when I first started dating someone who was on the heavier side, it was like people will have these blocks like, oh, I don't find that attractive or I can't admit that that's attractive to me
yeah.
or that I'm curious about that. Like, mm-hmm. I only like... muscular, more slim people, or they know that that's all they like. But when you are attracted to someone and date someone who is of a different type of body,
yeah,
that just sort of expands what you're attracted
yeah.
to. So I noticed that after that, I was like, oh, I see.
You become attracted to what you've had positive experiences with.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I buy that 100%.
So I don't know, but throwing it out there because mm-hmm. you don't hear people say that. It's just like, this is what's beautiful, something in this
yeah.
realm. If you like anything outside this realm, you're weird. But it's like, well, but everybody's body is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, in their own way.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to explore the awesome, you know, or be open to it.
Yeah.
anything you're really sensitive about, like in terms of your body, like?
Yeah, actually, I'm really sensitive. This isn't so much sex nerd things. I'm very sensitive, like taking public transit or flying. Mm-hmm. And I really like I know it's going to be uncomfortable for me, and I'm going to get a lot of dirty looks. But I'm pretty good at folding myself up into the seat usually. Mm-hmm. And honestly, like, it's a much bigger problem to be so tall when flying mm-hmm. than it is to be sort of heavy mm-hmm. for me anyways. I'm sure other people have different experiences, but.
Yeah. Navigating the world when you're bigger and like trying to get through smaller spaces. Mm-hmm. But in the bedroom, it hasn't really become a thing.
No, I don't think so. No,
no,
no. Sorry. I take that back. With people, with a person that maybe we're not really used to each other yet, there's a lot of this, you have to scooch down. I'm pounding my head on the wall. It hurts. We can't, like, yeah. So like that's.
Like you have to say that?
Yeah. Okay. Because people will lay down, mm-hmm. Like towards the head of the bed. And heads, pillows, all that stuff, and then
there's no room for your
head. Yeah, like our bits can line up or our head can line up, but not both at the same time usually.
Right. Yeah. No, I hear you. That is important.
Mm-hmm.
Aw. Yeah. Being on the shorter side is definitely hard sometimes when someone's really far away.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like But then you were saying the other day, it's not about like I'm short and you're tall. It's I'm my size. You're your size.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't walk around thinking I'm tall, 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 tall. Look at how tall I am. Tall, tall, tall.
Although if you hang out with John or anyone really tall or big for a day, well, people won't really comment on your weight, but they will comment. Like, people find it fine to say how tall you are.
Yes, totally fine. Which is weird because I'm really like, that's the one I'm awkward about. That's like,
Like, okay, I've heard jokes about like I was at a Korean spa.
You mama so tall jokes. I hate those.
No. Well, those do. No, but like in terms of weight, because I mean, mm-hmm. We're talking about different body sizes and whatnot. Like people will notice like the heavy guy at the sauna, and right. It's like you can't even find their genitals. You know, like I can't even see, like there was so much in the way, like I couldn't even see their penis. And like this guy was telling me about his experience in the male locker room, mm-hmm. and. I don't know. I mean, I can understand someone sort of staring at someone, you know, because we all look at each other's bodies.
Yeah.
I did find it a little uncomfortable because it's kind of mean, but also it's like a lack of understanding about how everybody's bodies are.
Yeah.
But, I mean, how do you... For me, I just get kind of offended about that. I mean, clearly, I can find your penis, John, if I really was looking. We're not sleeping together these days.
Right,
but,
we're not.
But I know where it is.
Yes.
And it's very accessible from what I can remember. This is an awkward conversation.
Really? You made it.
I just find that really annoying when people talk about genitals that way, I guess.
Right.
It really annoys me because I'm like, I can find it. If you can't find it, then you need to go back to anatomy school.
Right.
You
know? Yeah. It's in the same place.
Yeah. That's the weirdest sound ever.
I should do something about that because I'm ruining your thing, aren't I?
Well, I mean, you can turn it off or just say it's in the same place again.
Yeah.
I don't even know if this is kind of a weird thing to be talking about. I feel weird talking about it. Do you feel weird talking about it?
A little bit, but, you know. It's less weird than the virginity one, I think, for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I mean, I guess
what makes it weird for you?
Making it weird for you?
Oh, it's not weird for me.
Oh, okay. I'm fine. Like, well, Hannah was saying, like, we were talking about the joke. She's like, I've heard them all, like, roll a woman around in flour and find the wet spot. I'm just immediately...
I've never heard that one.
Oh, yeah. That's awful. Yeah, it's totally awful. But you hear these things, and there's just this lack...
Is it... Women get it maybe differently than men do?
Maybe. I mean, I've just heard people being like, oh, I couldn't even see his penis, and he was naked. And it's just... And that, for me, was... I mean, like... Like, you've got a belly, you know?
Yes.
But if we're going to be intimate, if that were what mm-hmm. was going on, like, right. you know...
We're podcasting.
Right? You know, you choose your verbs.
Right.
And it's like we're all just moving our bodies around to, like, get the bits we want. You know, like,
mm-hmm.
I just don't think it's a big deal. But some people feel insecure about it. I had a letter from a guy who who was concerned about his belly getting in the way. Like, yeah. He was worried about that or whatnot. And I think I was just like, so just move it.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of want to say, having been out in America, clearly fat people are having sex. Which I recognize is kind of a joke, but still, it's clearly happening. So,
yeah, and I'm sure they're having a very good time. I know a lot of couples on the heavier side who are mm-hmm. incredibly happy sexually.
Sure.
Or when one person is heavier. It's just not, I don't know. We are not exposed to fat people in the media unless they're usually comedic.
Yeah. Joke
or
butts.
Grotesque in some way.
There's that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But there's lots of beauty and normal. It's just, they're just normal people.
Yeah.
Having good times.
Mm-hmm.
Any parting advice for guys, gals who are dealing with their weight issues? And like, because you're incredibly, you have a really healthy self-image. Like, what has helped you achieve that? I'm curious. Because the media is kind of working against you at this point.
Yeah, and I'm going to get them one of these days.
Starting with me and this microphone.
Yeah.
Oh.
Ooh, when I finish my EMP device. No, you don't have to listen to anyone in the world. Mm-hmm. So ignore the haters.
Because they just don't get it.
No. Yeah, why give someone else that power?
Because the truth is you deserve pleasure mm-hmm. and love. Just the way you are right now.
Yes. No. Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Aww. Let's hug it out.
All right.
All right. This is Sex Nerd Sandra. Over and out. Thank you, John.
You're welcome.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.